This is Morning Edition. I'm Kathy Worzer. We'll learn a lot this week about the direction of the state's budget debate. Both chambers of the Minnesota legislature will release budget blueprints. It's, of course, the main task lawmakers must accomplish by their mid-May mandatory adjournment. Brian Baxt is here right now with our weekly Capitol preview. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kathy. I'm good.
Good. What do you think these budget frameworks will tell us?
Well, these are the high-level indications of where the priorities of the House and Senate are. They'll lay out where each area of the budget, how much the House and Senate want to spend on it. So K-12 education, higher education, healthcare programs, public safety. You get the idea. And these are the competing targets as they're known. And they'll tell us where the overlap is between the chambers and where the friction points are. But we won't learn all the details immediately, such as how individual services will fare. That job is left to the committees, which will spend the next few weeks haggling over those details.
When will the targets be released?
The Democratic House majority will be out with theirs this afternoon, and Republicans who run the Senate say we'll get them by the end of the week.
Governor Walz, of course, laid his budget on the table, but he had to rewrite it or revise a bit of that last week. Tell us a little bit more about that.
On Friday, the governor put out an amended proposal that accounts for a dip in anticipated state money. And his new plan still tops $49 billion in two-year commitments. Remember, lawmakers have about a $1 billion projected surplus, but Democrats in particular are cautious about calling it a surplus because of inflation, and if it was thrown in, delivering those same services tomorrow as today, that quickly disappears. The governor scaled back some of his initiatives to come up with $131 million in savings over his initial proposal. He also dragged in money remaining from an insurance risk pool that Republicans are pushing to keep in place. And he recommends changing tax laws to limit some corporate deductions and write-offs. The shuffling led him to propose more spending for higher education, tribal services, and oversight of the child care grant program, to name a few. And the slimming was spread out, but touches mainly on things like school safety aid, recreational trail maintenance, and a proposed incubator program for startup technology companies.
Okay, so we'll see more on the budget today. Let's talk about some other things happening at the Capitol. That opioid crisis response bill, I know, is moving toward a Senate vote. That House version passed last week, right?
Yeah, it passed on Monday by a pretty big margin. And the Senate could vote later in the week on a proposal. It would fund intervention efforts, chemical dependency programs, and help counties defray the cost of child protection cases, which they're seeing many more of. And while there are some differences with the House version, both bills use new fees on companies in the prescription drug pipeline to pay for the response. Some licensing fees go from a few hundred to several thousand dollars, and painkiller manufacturers could be charged more than $250,000 each just to operate in the state. This is one of those areas where a deal is likely because all of the power brokers at the Capitol are on board.
The cell phone while driving bill, that's another one of those bills, correct? Where's that at?
The Senate is set to vote today on a bill making it illegal to operate a handheld phone behind the wheel. The House passed theirs by a big margin last week. One difference is that the Senate bill makes an exception for navigation and GPS functions. The House bill says that even that capability must be done in hands-free mode. A separate Senate bill waiting for a final vote would increase the fines for repeat offenders of existing laws and create tougher penalties for causing serious injury or deadly crashes while distracted by a device.
All right. So before you go here, let's talk a little bit about a bill that includes the state parks. What's up with that?
Yeah, you know, people are starting to think about getting out into the parks because the weather's getting nicer. And sometimes the DNR holds these open house days where admission is free. Well, a bill up for hearing this week basically says that most major holidays would become open house days. So think Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Christmas. It may make the parks free to visitors, but it's not without cost. The DNR estimates a $175,000 loss in revenue. That makes it a tougher sell with some lawmakers. So, Kathy, you might just want to pick up that annual windshield permit just in case.
All right. Brian, have a good week. Thanks much.
Happy to do it.